Everyone, and welcome back to Affirmative Reaction here on SiriusXM Progress Channel 127. I'm your host, Jorge Olivares. I've been on YouTube for several years now. I think I remember when I was in college and thinking, wow, this new medium is kind of fun and cool. And if you search anything, you'll be able to find someone talking about it. You'll be able to find archives of someone talking about it, clips of movies, clips of music. And even to this day, I frequently visit YouTube almost on a regular basis. But I never really found myself capable of being the kind of people who sit in front of their camera and talk about either their life or talk about what's going on around them. And that is what I think is part of the beauty of witnessing LGBTQ content creators on this channel, right? On YouTube, everybody can come up with whatever they want to share with the world. And there are some who have been able to do that for quite some time, but are now looking back and saying, wow, over the course of our chance to do this, YouTube has either been flagging our content or labeling our content as inappropriate or even age-restricted because of the fact that it's just LGBTQ-themed. Now, because this is all happening, if you remember just a few years ago, not even a few years ago, what am I talking about? Just a few months ago, during Pride Month, Carlos Massa, who is a reporter for Vox, he was talking about how he felt as though YouTube wasn't doing enough to protect its LGBTQ content creators from discrimination because he himself was undergoing several attacks by right-wing YouTubers who were themselves using the platform. But as of right now, there's about 7 or 8 YouTube creators who are saying, you know, we don't like this. We don't like that not only are we being withheld certain funds because of this and advertising dollars, but we also don't like that certain people aren't getting access to our content because YouTube and others who are a part of the Google company think that it's not right for people to view. Now, one of the people who is a part of this case is Lindsay Amer, who we've had on the show. They are the host of Queer Kids Stuff, where they talk about educational material for queer kids and their parents. But another one is Chase Ross. Now, Chase hosts his own program on the YouTube channel, Uppercase Chase One. They have about 170,000 subscribers, and Chase is one of the plaintiffs in the class action lawsuit currently against YouTube. Chase joins me now. Chase, thanks so much for joining me today.
Well, thank you for having me.
So tell me a little bit about the case against YouTube. It's, like I said, you and 7 other plaintiffs. How did you realize that now is the time to approach them and say, look, we've got a problem here?
So for me personally, I have been dealing with demonetization for over 2 years now, and I've been complaining about it, and nothing has really happened. I've made videos about it, I've tweeted about it, and I've even gone to YouTube headquarters and I've spoken with some people who are higher ups, and still nothing has really changed. And I feel like this is the next step in order to get YouTube's attention and in order for them to actually change things, because in the past they've said, yeah, we'll change things, or oh, it's a mistake with the algorithm or something like that, which is what we always hear. And they can't really just keep saying that now. Like, this is serious. You need to take accountability.
When you say demonetization, what, for listeners who might not know what it means, what exactly, how does that affect you? And what does that necessarily entail?
Sure. When I post a video on my channel, I see a little yellow icon with the money symbol. And that usually means that it's demonetized. And demonetized means that it's not advertiser friendly. And it's deemed that way because of some obscene or controversial topic. When the video is monetized, you see like a little green icon instead. Well, most of my videos, especially right when I upload them, they get demonetized instantly. And when a video is demonetized and you upload it to YouTube and press publish, most people who have followers on YouTube know that the first day, the first couple of hours is usually when you get the most views in a video, because that's when everyone is supposed to get the notification. Well, if the video is demonetized, then you're losing on all of that AdSense income in the first couple of hours that it's demonetized.
So you've talked about it before, especially now with the new reporting that's coming out surrounding this case. And you've said that even just putting the word trans or transgender in the title of your videos or in the description of the videos made it flagged, that somebody within YouTube or somebody who's playing around with the mechanics of the background of all this, that they thought that some people just weren't, that they just shouldn't see this stuff. Tell me a little bit more about that, if you can.
Yeah, that really hurts. Last year, I posted a video of my top surgery 5-year anniversary video, and I was really, really excited because it's a big, you know, it's a big time in my transition. I was really excited to post this video, and so I uploaded it, and it was on private, and it was demonetized instantly. I was like, okay, no. So I deleted it, and I re-uploaded it, removing all of the words trans or transgender from the title, from the thumbnail, anything. When I uploaded it, it was completely monetized. I was like, okay. So step by step, I started to add information, still monetized, and the second that I added the word transgender, demonetized, like instantly. Mm-hmm. And I have screenshots of all of this, and I literally could not believe my eyes. However, a part of me was like, well, obviously, like I was expecting this. And I just was so disappointed that this is something that we still have to deal with and still have to fight for. So I ended up posting that on Twitter. A lot of people retweeted it, and it got picked up by a bunch of news. And YouTube actually ended up calling me because I think I made a stir online, and people were harassing them to, like, you know, give them information or, like, get a comment or, you know, what's happening. So YouTube called me, and they told me that, you know, they're assuring me that the algorithm does not pick gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender words and demonetize right away. Like, well, I literally have proof, and this was only one of the videos that I had proof. I had two other ones that I had done the same type of test with that also did the same thing. Yeah, it was last year that YouTube called me and tried to, I'm going to say, like, put out the fire or try to, you know, damage control, you know, really try not to make this such a big deal, but I'm, you know, it's still happening.
I mean, the crazy thing is you've been a part of YouTube for several years now. So tell me about if you've seen this issue come up before, this issue of flagging content or describing things as either obscene or inappropriate, and how you've seen that change over the years, especially with this more what we would assume would be more of an acceptance of queer folks in society.
So I'm trying to remember because I started YouTube when I was 15, and that was in 2006. So it was a very long time ago, and back then, I don't even think you could monetize your videos. And I started making videos about myself, and then slowly started to make videos about my identity and, you know, being trans and things like that in the process that I was going through. And I guess that my videos, I never really paid attention to monetization because it was like 10 cents a month, like it was nothing, mm-hmm. because I really didn't get that many views. But it's more in the last 3 years that monetization has been higher on my channel. And it's not something I rely for income. It's not my main income because I know that YouTube goes up and down with ads and stuff like that. But it is a nice addition to income that I do make. And because in the last 3 years, I'm going to say, is when I really noticed that the videos started to get demonetized. And I just got really confused because I was like, well, why are these getting demonetized? They were fine before. Because I just, there was some time, I don't know, I think that they changed their advertiser policies and made them more strict, and that somehow demonetized, like, all of the videos. Because I remember when that first came out. I don't remember exactly when it was, but I do remember when it was announced that you could see when a video is demonetized, and you'll see like a yellow icon. It'll be more visible for you as the creator putting up your videos on the channel. You'll be able to actually see it more. And I remember that day I went on my channel, and I am not even joking. Every single video was yellow. Every single one. And maybe that's when they just introduced the algorithm, and maybe there was some homophobic, transphobic person there that might have put sexuality obscene in the algorithm. I have no idea, but I remember I have screenshots. Every single one of my videos was under yellow, so I had to appeal every single one and wait for them to get remonetized.
At that point, how many videos were there?
I'm going to say about 400, three to 400. It would, oh my god! And you can't do a bulk like appeal. You have to go through each individual link. It took so long.
So there's no denying, obviously, that there's going to be homophobic and transphobic people either at certain companies or even just on the internet. We know how the internet works these days with regards to trolls and people who feel the need to impress upon the general society what they feel to be true. But for people who want to say that your content is obscene, let me just give our listeners a sense as to what that content actually is. You have a Trans 101 series where you talk about, what is it like to be transgender? What are the terminologies that we should be using? And also, how should we be talking about this issue of children who are figuring out their gender identity? And to that effect, you even have a particular series of videos that are for family and for friends into how best educate people who are trying to figure out the right way to physically and emotionally be there for people as they transition. So for you, I'm curious, like, this idea that, you know, you have this voice, you're using this voice, and someone's trying to silence it just because you know how to use it well and use the medium of YouTube well enough to showcase and use your voice to be better for others.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I all the types of videos that I make are educational. I made some funny videos. I mean, I think I'm funny. I'm not funny, but, you know, I laugh a lot, so people end up laughing. And I make educational videos, and these are videos that I needed when I was younger. They didn't exist when I was 15 on YouTube. There was two trans people, and I was like, oh, my God. But now there are thousands of trans people, and everyone's getting demonetized. Like, it's ridiculous. And I just wish that people understood the value in this type of education. I do make some videos that are reviews and prosthetic reviews that are age restricted, and I can understand that, and I can understand how some of them are of sexual nature, and sure, I could get that. However, I do reviews of, like, different things that aren't prosthetics and that are very, like, here is a piece of cloth, and it gets demonetized and even age restricted. I'm like, I'm not even saying anything. It's a very weird place to be when some of the videos get demonetized, some get age restricted, some don't.
I'm curious, because you live in Montreal, a lot of the other plaintiffs live different places. Like I mentioned, Lindsay Amers here in New York City. But how did you get a chance to kind of coordinate with the other content creators, with the YouTube content creators, and decide that this was the time to take action?
So I've known that people in the LGBTQ community have been getting demonetized for years. And just to be clear, I know that it's not just LGBTQ creators. I know that people with disabilities also deal with demonetization. I know that some family vloggers also deal with it. So I know that it's not just LGBT, but we're focusing on that right now, mm-hmm. and hoping that this can kind of open the door for, you know, more equal opportunity for everyone. But I've known for years that demonetization has been happening, and I've been complaining about it. People have been complaining about it. And then we kind of just stopped. And I think it's because we're exhausted. I was so tired. Like, my videos every day, age restricted, demonetized. I'm just so done. I roll my eyes. I'm like, whatever. Because I can't fight it, because nothing happens. So I just really haven't complained much about it online. Then I got contacted by News or Glitter Bomb TV, and they told me that they were doing this lawsuit. And I just wanted to hear my experience with demonetization, because they had seen my some articles of my experiment with the trans being demonetized right away in my video. And so they just wanted to know my story. And when I was talking to them, it really made me realize that, okay, people are still dealing with this as much as I am, and everyone's still suffering, and this really sucks. And it kind of lit a fire in me to continue and to be more outspoken about this. So that's how I got involved, and I think that it's a great way to get involved, because this could be a stepping stone for all the other communities who are also being demonetized to get the attention and the response that they want and need from YouTube. And also, we just want to hold YouTube accountable. Like, just take some accountability.
Just a reminder, you're listening to Affirmative Reaction here on SiriusXM and Progress Channel 127. I'm your host, Jorge Olivares, on the phone with Chase Ross. He is a transgender YouTuber, somebody who is a part of this new class action lawsuit against the social media platform, trying to say that they are being discriminated against because of the fact that a lot of the material that they post online is either being demonetized or just not being given to the kind of outlet that they deserve. Now, I'm also curious about how you mentioned to me that this coming weekend is Pride Weekend in Montreal. You're going to have a chance to be out and about with other members of the community. But especially during Pride, I felt like I saw YouTube and Google. Everybody had their floats and everybody was so excited with their rainbow colors. What are your thoughts about that, considering that here you have this, you're alleging that this company feels a certain way about its creators, but still doing what they can to promote Pride?
Yeah, YouTube prides itself on being diverse and celebrating Pride. They come out with a video every year. They change their logo to the rainbow, and it's so inclusive and so great. But when you have people left, right, and center in the LGBTQ community getting demonetized and actively complaining about it, and not doing anything and kind of just ignoring you, I don't understand how you could still celebrate Pride and be okay with, you know, what's happening.
So as I mentioned earlier, before we got started, about how a lot of people in the United States were figuring out, it was a trending topic with regards to the Carlos Massa case. He's the reporter for Vox, and how some right-wingers who are also YouTubers were being incredibly discriminatory against him, making comments that were anti-gay, anti-Latino. When you think about it, at the end of the day, at least from the outside looking in, it just seemed as though YouTube was more mindful about its pocketbook and not necessarily about the creators that are lining those pocketbooks. What are your thoughts about that entire thing and this what seems like a rise in anti-queer sentiment for creators?
So for me and my channel personally, I haven't seen a spike of comments like that, because I already get comments like that, and I've been getting them for over a year, especially since my trans video came out last year. I still get comments like daily of people saying things about, oh, I got an ad, or, oh, I didn't get an ad, or, oh, it's very obvious that YouTube is discriminated against trans people because you're talking about this topic and it's demonetized or age restricted and someone else's and it's not. Mm-hmm. So it's something that I've been dealing with a lot, seeing these comments, and it hurts, because I don't want to be putting this pain on people who are watching the videos, but I can see that it hurts them too. And I think that that's one of the larger pictures that YouTube and everyone kind of needs to understand. This doesn't just affect the LGBT community. It affects a lot of people in the world and a lot of people in the YouTube community. Mm-hmm. And the fact that YouTube has become a space where people who maybe don't live in an open town or an open city or state or even country can go to and actually feel secure and feel like a sense of community somehow, because they can't come out, you know, in their life. And it just creates this really great atmosphere that I've grew up on YouTube. I love this. But when I'm seeing my, you know, LGBTQ fellow YouTubers being demonetized, it adds this negative connotation to what already is a very stigmatized community. And I feel that if parents who are confused about their kids coming out go on YouTube and they see a video, Trans 101, but it's age restricted. Like, what does that tell you? Mm-hmm. That this is obscene? That this Trans 101, trans, anything related to that is obscene? And it hurts so much to think about the people who would like to access the content not being able to access it, and having a negative association with it because of the reason why they can't access it.
I love that you talk about community. I mean, you have 170,000 subscribers. That means there are people out there who want to hear what you have to say, either about your life or about other things in the world with regards to the trans experience and the experience that you've had a chance to share with others. You even created a video where you talked about being able to reach the 100,000 subscriber mark. If you can, tell me a little bit about how that feels, knowing that people go to your channel to specifically hear what you, Chase Ross, have to say.
I feel anxious. No, I feel it's a big sense of responsibility, because I want to make sure that the information I'm providing is always true to my point of view. So I make content that I wish I had when I was younger, and I want to make sure that that content stays like to what I wanted. I don't want to make content that I would have not needed, you know? So I feel like it's an amazing power to have people look up to you and watch your videos for information, but it's also a really big sense of responsibility because you don't want to give them wrong information, or you don't want to discourage anyone. But it is cool that people have come to my videos for information. Like, that's the point, right? So, like, the whole point of my channel is to create educational videos, and it seems to be working, so that's good.
You mentioned a little bit earlier about how, yes, you launched in 2006, that's when you first started perusing YouTube and seeing what it could do for you. What has been, you think, the most significant change over these 13 years or so, with regards to maybe how you're comfortable with yourself, how technology has changed, or all of the above? Where do you think your feelings lie with that?
I think that it is very obvious, if you look at my old videos to my new videos, the difference in confidence. So when I started to finally come out to myself and come out to other people and talk about that process and about how I was feeling, I was a nervous wreck. Couldn't even look at the camera. I was looking down. I couldn't even edit my videos. I would just do one take. Editing was excruciating for me, because I didn't want to have to relive what I just said and hear my voice and see myself. But when I started to transition, I felt so much more comfortable. And, you know, after maybe a year, I was able to really edit a video and not look away, like not look away.
Mm-hmm. The crazy brave part about all this is that you have documented your trans journey on YouTube. It's out there for the world. So many people can go back and look at your earlier videos, can see how your narrative has changed over this almost decade long period. But have you ever thought about the alternative, about what it would have been like if you did not share that journey with the world, if you maybe took that offline and it wasn't on YouTube? Have you figured out if it would have been maybe easier or harder if that was the case, if you did it offline?
I think it would have been so much harder, even though there were only a couple of trans YouTubers at the time that I started talking about my transition. Those few people saved my life, because I didn't know that you could be trans and also have a life. I thought, you're trans, that's it. For the rest of your life, you can't do anything else. And seeing other people kind of living their lives, especially one I remember had just gotten his bachelor's degree, and he posted that on YouTube, and he was trans. I was like, whoa, you can go to university? Like, I know it sounds ridiculous, but this is 2006, 2007. Like, I had no idea, because there was really not that much information. There was, like, one website with information for trans people. Mm-hmm. And now that I think about it today, it is so much easier for me to be able to talk to, you know, people and to express myself. And I feel so happy for the people who are realizing that they're trans in this year, because they have all of these resources and all of these different perspectives, because I think about one topic differently than another person will think about it. So you don't just get one trans person's perspective. Mm-hmm. You get hundreds, which is amazing and so powerful, and it creates this, like, very diverse community. And I think that it's easier to transition today than it was when I was younger. Not like that. However, it, for me personally, would have been so much easier if the content that is out right now was out back then.
Considering the situation, obviously, with this current lawsuit against YouTube, have you thought about what life would look like if it didn't involve YouTube?
Yes, I have thought about that, and it hurts, because I've always said, I'm never going to quit YouTube. When I stop making videos, you know something's really wrong. And for the last month, I really haven't been posting, because I feel so discouraged by all of this demonetization. Like, I don't even want to deal with it. But I have thought about a life outside of YouTube, and I, luckily for me, have a plan. And for me, I have a master's degree in sociology, and I do a lot of research. So YouTube does really help my research, because it helps give me a platform to get people to be part of research that I do in order to help, you know, the community and what's going on in the world. But I can see myself leaving YouTube and focusing on research as my primary kind of career. Mm-hmm. But it hurts to say that because I love YouTube so much. I love being able to make videos and creating. I don't think that that's something I'll ever stop doing, but maybe I would just upload it somewhere else.
Well, we're going to be paying close attention to the case. We're going to make sure that the YouTube is held accountable for what the LGBTQ creators are alleging in this case against, for people who just want to see the kind of content that you do create, because it's something that is very necessary for education and for even entertainment. And so for those people who want to go to YouTube, just go to uppercase Chase One. You'll be able to see Chase Ross's videos, be one of the mostly 170,000 subscribers who have already decided to look to Chase for this information. But Chase, thank you so much for taking some time with me, and hopefully happy Pride this weekend.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks so much for having me.
We'll be right back.